إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at the issue of what will be lost if we no longer had the Quran. And we are looking at this issue not as some hypothetical issue, as in doing some what if planning, contingency planning, because there is no contingency plan that can be devised if the Quran is no longer with us. There is no other book that we can refer to which is equal to the Quran. There is no way of getting another kalam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the thinking and reasoning that we are doing is twofold. One is to say, why should we know the value of this? Because only then will we be able to appreciate it and use it. And second thing is that when we say what if the Quran is lifted from us, we are not talking about a hypothetical situation. This is not just a waste of time talking about or thinking about something which cannot happen. This is actual reality. This is actual reality. And as I mentioned from the ayat of Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 86, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if we were to lift this kalam, if we wanted to lift this kalam from you, we could have done that, and no, there would be no one to protect you from that calamity. And this refers to not only the actual lifting of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the day of judgment. This is one of the signs of, major signs of the day of judgment, but also it refers to the distancing or removing of the kalam of Allah, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from our lives. And that is the reason why it is recommended that we read at least some part of the Quran on a daily basis, regularly. At least read one juz every day, one sipara every day. And if not that, then whatever amount that we can read. And whenever I say this, you know, many times people make these complaints. They say, oh, I don't have time for this. When you say, read the Quran, you say, oh, I don't have time. Now, if you look at the amount of time that we spend in other things, it is far higher and far more than the time that we spend on reading the Quran. So how come you have time for all of that? None of which gives you any value whatsoever. And definitely not value in the Akhirah, and definitely not value at the level that the Quran will give you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the reading of the Quran, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you 10 hasanat for every letter of the Quran that you read. 10 hasanat for every letter. And he said, I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter. He said, Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, Mim is one letter. So if you simply say Alif Lam Mim as part of the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah and other places, we have got how many? 30 hasanat. One hasana alone is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. So what is the value of 30 hasanat? Now the problem is we do not understand this value. This is the problem. We do not understand the actual value of what we have. They say that when the Kohinoor was the diamond in its original form, now of course it has been cut and so on and so forth. But in the original form, when it was presented to Babur, he called a jeweler, Marwadi jeweler from Rajasthan, who in his court, he called him and asked him and told him to put a value on it. So he looked at it. He said, there is no way of valuing this. He said, I have no means of saying what is the value of this diamond. He said, all I can say is that this is enough to feed the entire population of the world for 2.5 days. So that is what he said. Now the point is, who saw the value of that? The jeweler, because the jeweler understood jewelry. He knows the, obviously he is making a hypothetical statement, because if you can go into the finer print of that and say, well, did he know what was the actual population of the world at that time and so on? Obviously he did not know that. So, but at the same time, having said that, the value of something you understand if you are associated with it on a daily basis. How does the jeweler understand the value? Because he deals with jewelry. He has seen jewelry. So how do we understand the value of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam has, there's no comparison between the Quran and the Kohinoor or anything like that. Where is the comparison between a stone which has a notional value and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The value of the kalam of Allah we will understand if we are associated with it. If we read it every day, if we use it in our lives, if we practice our lives according to the kalam, then we understand the actual value of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is why it is very important to read at least some of it on a daily basis. You were talking about yesterday, I mentioned about the importance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing what if it is if it is taken away. And I said, we talked about Ayatul Kursi, we talked about the ayat thereafter, which talk about guidance to the right path. And as I said, that it's not a question of what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifts the Quran. It's not a matter of saying that the pages of the Mus'haf will become blank. The issue is that you will not get any value from it. An example I gave yesterday was that if Allah says, if we take away your sight, Allah mentioned this also in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people who deny him and the people who deny Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they have ayunun la yubsiruna biha. They have eyes, but they do not see with those eyes. Adhanun la yasma'una biha. They have ears, but they do not hear with those ears. Now, is he talking about people who are blind and deaf? No. He's talking about, are all the people who are not Muslim, are they all blind people? Are they all deaf people? They're not. They can see. They can hear. What is it? What is the meaning of this? To say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have قُلُوب, they have hearts, but they do not understand. Now, he's not talking about sight, he's talking about vision, he's talking about understanding. He's talking about the ability to take ibrat from something, to learn lessons from something, to see the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation of the heavens and the earth. Yeah, I always make dua for David Attenborough, who is now getting close to 100 years old. If you see the BBC series of the World series, if you see Planet Earth series, it's all narrated by David Attenborough and beautifully narrated. If you see what all he has seen and what Allah has shown him in this world thanks to his work and the way he narrates it and so on and so forth, and yet the man is an atheist. He does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not believe in God. He thinks that all of this is an accident. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I think to myself that how is it that here is a man who has seen nature more closely. He has seen the ayat of Allah. He has seen signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more closely than I will ever be able to see. And yet, he does not see in those ayat the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I can see. And who must I thank for this? Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of understanding what you are seeing. It's not just a matter of seeing like a cow sees or a dog sees or a cat sees. They also see, but they don't understand the value of it, the worth of it. They don't extract a lesson from it. They don't look at a situation and say, subhanallah, look at this. This could be me. This could be, what is the lesson I learned from this? How will I apply it? So similarly, when we go forward in the Quran from Ayatul Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ayatul Kursi, which is his introduction, Jalla Jalaluhu, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the paths have been made clear, they have been demarcated clearly, the path of righteousness and the path of misguidance, and the one who chooses, who rejects the taghut, and who chooses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, who chooses the path of righteousness, is a person who has grasped a handhold that will never break. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Yesterday we saw. Today, if you go ahead in the same ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ila nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, and this is what we say, if this is removed, then this Allah as my wali will be gone. Allah as my wali will be gone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, I am not saying it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the wali of the people who have belief, who have faith. Who are these people? The people who have rejected the taghut, who have rejected false deities, who have rejected all kinds of falsehood, and who have grasped the handhold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, who have chosen Islam, who have chosen the path of righteousness. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ila nur. Allah is the wali of the believers, and he extracts them and takes them out of darkness into light. Who takes them out of misguidance into guidance. Who takes them out of confusion into certainty. Who takes them out of injustice into justice. Who takes them out of constriction into expanse. Who gives them what they do not have. Who gives them what they do not have. Who gives them what they need and more. All of this is the benefit of having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our wali jalla jalaluhu. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah said, if we were to remove this from you, then what would you have? Where would you go? Who will be your wali? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, those who do not do this, those who do not grasp the handhold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who insist on sin, what about them? وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ التَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And those who do not do that, those who insist on disobedience, those who insist on denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who will not grasp the handhold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would have grasped the handhold of somebody else. And who is that somebody else? That somebody else is shaitan, is iblis. In one form or the other, that somebody else are the false deities, are the false hopes that they have. And what do they do? They do the opposite. Instead of taking them out of darkness into light, they take them from light into darkness. They make them blind, they take away their hearing, they take away their sight, they take away their understanding from their hearts. They are like animals, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in so many words also. Kal anam bal hum adallu sabila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are like anam, they are like cattle. They are like cattle, and Allah said, verily they are even worse than that. And they are so misguided that they do not see the path. This is the actual reality of life. If the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lifted from us, not only will we never enjoy the... Think about this. I mean, when we say we never enjoy the recitation, people like us, alhamdulillah, 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 we are blessed and blessed and blessed that we can't even imagine not listening to the recitation. But think about the number of people in this world. I'm not even talking about the non-Muslims. The non-Muslims are part of that. But the number of Muslims in the world who do not hear the recitation of the Quran even once in a day. How many people do not hear the recitation of the Quran once in a year? How many people hear the recitation of the Quran done in the worst possible way in Ramadan, in Tarawih, where they go to places where Tarawih is read, and may Allah protect us from such people. May Allah save those imams who read the Quran like that, who read Tarawih, who read the Quran extremely fast without any, riayat for the usul of the Quran. So that is all they hear. So they go there as a burden. I don't even know why they go there, because they are not praying. Where is the thing? But they go there, that's all they hear. Imagine, these are Muslims. Muslims who never hear the recitation of the Quran. So when we are saying if the Quran is lifted from us, it is not a figment of the imagination. We are not talking about some hypothetical situation. This is actually happening. As I speak, this is happening. May Allah protect us from that. There are homes in which the Quran is never recited. There are homes in which the sound of the Quran has never been heard. And then I'm not talking about isolated situations. This is the situation in a lot of places. I won't say majority or minority. I've not done a survey to say that. But definitely I know many places where in Muslim homes, the sound of the Quran is never heard. I know Muslim children who have never heard their parents recite Quran. They do not know what the Quran sounded in the voice of my father or the voice of my mother. They never hear, they have never heard their parents recite Quran. Whose fault is this? Yeah? There are Muslim homes. Now my point is that as if you are alive and listening to this, then you can change this. As simple as that. The only ones who can't change it is the ones who are already dead. But if you are alive, then you can change this. If you are a Muslim, the first thing you can do is to go in your house and sit and recite the Quran to the best of your ability. Don't worry about the fact, oh, but you see my voice is not like Sheikh Sudais or something. It doesn't have to be. We are not talking about that. Even if you, nobody prevents you from learning how to recite the Quran properly. So please go and learn. It is not difficult, it is very easy. There are people who are willing to help you, willing to teach you, go and learn how to recite the Quran properly. But whatever way you recite, recite Quran. Let the walls of your house bear witness on the day of judgment that they heard the kalam of Allah in this house. Where is the barakah? Then people say, well, you know, the ghar mein aisi nahusat hai, nahusat hai, kya rehti? All that is in the house is stuff coming out of the sounds coming out of the television, which is for the most part what is coming out of there is haram or whatever else. There is no kalam of Allah anywhere. What else will you have? You are inviting nahusat into your house and you say, ghar mein nahusat hai, rehti kya rehti, kya rehti? You are inviting that. A house in which the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recited, where the walls resonate with that, where the children hear it, where the sound hears it, how can there be any nausat in such a house? How can any bad influence be in such a house? And it's all in our hands. Nobody stops you and me from reciting Quran. And also, having said that, let me also say it, please don't fall into this habit. This is the other side of the story. There are people who treat the Quran like background music. There is some Quran playing on some recording device the whole day, you know, or most of the day, and then people are doing their work and so on. Nobody pays any attention to that. It's like background music. This is tawheen of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do that. The Quran is not background music. When you are listening to the Quran, sit and listen to the Quran, even if it is for a short time. Listen to the Quran, maybe listen to somebody else's recitation, or best is, of course, you recite yourself, but pay attention to that, sit and do that, don't do anything else. Don't have that thing playing in the background like background music. It's not background music. So let us not treat the Quran with disrespect, because that's the, as I said, the two sides. Either you never hear it or you hear it in a way which is not respectful. So both are bad. Let us not do that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us connected with this kalam and more of this, inshallah, bismillahi ta'ala, tomorrow. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.